Today is Wednesday, August 29th, and coming at you today, we've got robots and AI and some other nonsense.
Security.
A lot of security nonsense.
A lot of security. The security news has been creeping up to be the most reported numerically.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if, maybe we need to have a higher bar of what counts as security news, but most of these stories are pretty scary.
The Spectre and Meltdown, most people don't realize how serious those are, but in a year or two, there's going to be a piece of malware so bad, basically everybody's going to have to throw away their CPUs. I really hope we've got new hardware before that happens.
But see, the Keynesians are like, ooh, broken window economics. That's going to be huge for GDP.
That's going to save our economy.
Whoever replaces Trump in 2020 is going to get a huge, it's going to be like Bill Clinton. Because the internet was basically invented under his watch. And I was like, hey, I fixed the economy.
That's the second time that's happened. The first time that happened was when with Microsoft. We had that oil crisis thing in the 70s and early 80s. And then Microsoft. And then our economy was fixed again. And then it happened again with the internet. It happened too good with the internet. We got the dot-com bust because of that. I don't know what it's going to be. Is it going to be AI? Are we going to invent AI and save the economy?
There's only been 1 year since we've been alive where the government posted a surplus. And that was because of the internet. And look where it's taken us. We've come to this magical world where everything you do is tracked and watched and collated and added to a secret database. And Google is at the forefront of that.
This is a great story from Ars Technica because Google's location history, like the writer for this story on Ars Technica has done a really amazing job because they put together the language, they pulled, you know, all of the stuff from these obscure agreements, but with Google, they got in trouble for this in 2011 over location tracking and using misleading terminology. And so in 2011, with the Federal Trade Commission here in the U.S. and also some governing body in the EU, Google said, okay, we're going to use plain language English to explain what we do and how everything works. And one of the things in their location tracking thing was, if you turn this off, we will not keep it. And they have been shown to actually be keeping it.
Yeah. And this is not, so there's several levels here. There's Google tracking your location through Google services. And then there's also your phone checking in with cell towers. This is not that. This is actually Google.
Yeah.
So, of course, your phone checking in with cell towers, that's something that they can get a warrant for, and sometimes they don't even bother, and they just give it to them.
Until a couple of weeks ago, we reported on the story how all that data was going to a third-party company, and you could buy it for about $20.
Yeah, but Google is not even worrying about that. This is them just tracking everything, even when you turn it off, and
that wrong? Should we not have done that?
But it's one of these situations where it'll get investigated, they'll pay a fine, but the fine will be nothing compared to what they're earning tracking that data.
Oh, $1 million?
Well, it might be $50 million. But to them, well, we just won't take the yacht out this weekend. Yeah, it'll be fine. And CNN Tech, this story, I mean, it's not necessarily anything new, but basically a researcher ask the question, what is it possible in the modern day to have a smartphone and participate in life and not just go out in the woods and live and escape the clutches of Google? And the answer is basically no.
The answer is very no.
So, I mean, even if you're not using Google's apps and stuff like that, something you're using is using their search or hitting their map API or something like that. And it's just, there's so many levels of Google, and he talked about, okay, get the iOS device, purge everything Google out of it, and then maybe you're okay, but they're going to hit you with those ads.
Yeah.
Google's got ads everywhere, and they're tracking what's going on with those ads. So they do have a profile on you, even if you never do anything with them.
You can anonymously buy your phone, but unless you also use that phone with a VPN to somewhere else under your control or multiple somewhere else's under your control, it's still possible to personally identify you. You would have to use a phone as a front end to multiple services to avoid any of this tracking because it's the metadata on all of the activities that you do is too easy to identify you as an individual. And nobody's going to do that because it's just not, like, that's paranoia levels of basic operational security.
And if you're using a Gmail account or a Google phone, none of that's going to help you.
Yeah.
Because they simply track you through the other means. So just get comfortable with the fact that Google knows you. Embrace it. Let their loving tentacles envelop you and feel the warmth from it.
I've spent so much effort cultivating about 8 or 9 different personalities in Google. And so far, it seems to be working. Google thinks I'm about 8 different people, which is good, I guess. I mean, that's one level of obfuscation. It's not the best, but it's okay.
Sometimes, some people, and even some companies, try to wriggle free from the loving embrace of Google. They try to escape.
Well, it's mostly for monetary reasons.
They try to claw their way out of that loving womb of surveillance. And what do they get? They get terrible, terrible shortcomings or risky behaviors when they try to leave the womb.
So that thing that we reported on last week where it's like Epic. So Fortnite is a really popular game. And if Fortnite had its paid services through Google Play, then Google would be able to take a cut of whatever those paid services are. And so instead of doing that, Epic offers a downloader where you install the downloader and then the downloader will go to the website and install Fortnite. The problem is the installer didn't do any kind of security checks or anything, and it would just randomly install anything. So any kind of man-in-the-middle attack or open wireless that you might be connected to or whatever would let that attacker install literally anything on your phone. And so Google's security team spotted this and pointed it out immediately. And Epic had to respond to that to try to make it a little more secure immediately. And you can imagine that it's a little bit of a shouting match between the two companies.
How many people you think Google are their best people they put on the team?
Everybody.
To deconstruct the Fortnite installer.
Yeah, literally everybody at Google was just...
just like, all the projects are on hold until we can destroy Fortnite. But they did just simply reach out to them. Now, Epic is complaining because they're like, yeah, they told us, but they gave us very little time to fix it before they went public with it. And a lot of people are still running the old installer. So if you have the very first Fortnite installer, like if you installed the game and you haven't updated your installer since then, you should do so.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Or, you know, if you don't, make sure that you're on your own network when you do that and your network is not owned by somebody else.
Well, I think you just update it. I mean, there's no reason not to. Well, the other gaping security thing, you mentioned Intel and the Spectrum meltdown, and they're a big problem. And the biggest problem, as you sort of alluded to, is the apathy.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to deal with it, and Intel doesn't want to make you deal with it, because things get slower when you deal with it. And they really hate when people point out that it gets slower. They hate it so much that they put in some fine print saying, you're not allowed to benchmark this.
Almost as fast as people noticed this, Intel was like, oh, well, I guess we'll take that out. But they were so sort of coy with how they said that they were going to take it. So there's a microcode update, which if you don't know what microcode is, it's a patch to your CPU. Yes, you can change the way that your CPU works with a software update. And so there's a new problem with Intel CPUs. And we didn't even talk about that because it's like there's another variant of Spectre meltdown. This one is so bad that any information in the level 1 cache can be leaked. We talked about that last week. The fix for it is to literally just delete everything in the level 1 cache when you change security contexts for your CPU. Also, hyperthreading is catastrophically broken. If you have hyperthreading turned on, you're screwed in terms of security. Like if you're Amazon or a hosting provider and you can have 2 different customers running on the same CPU that's hyperthreaded, that's not how you have an unmitigatable security concern there. You have to clear the level 1 cache for security reasons, and that is terrible for performance. That is just terrible when you change security context there. So that's probably why Intel added that to the microcode. Now, there was an internet uproar. They've since taken it out. But good Lord, the performance implications of that are just... it's like not having the cache when you do a context switch. That's terrible. It's terrible.
Now, we've talked about using a VPN for security. during the Google section. And you definitely should. VPNs are very important. Now, there are some free VPNs that are a little suspicious. You know, go ahead and pay the $2 to $5 a month. They're usually pretty reasonable for a decent VPN.
There's an affiliate link at level1text.com/support.
Yeah, and there are actually, you know, you can do some searching. So private internet access?
Private internet access.
Proven in court, they do not keep logs. They've been subpoenaed. They've had everybody come at them. And they're just like, I can't help you. We don't log things. So that's probably a decent one. I mean, we don't want to sell you one. We do have an affiliate link, but I mean, this is not a commercial for private internet access, but I'm saying some of them will spy on you. Shockingly, the one owned by Facebook does nothing but spy on you.
So CNBC article author here did a good job. They did their homework because you remember that whole like congressional testimony thing where Facebook is like, no, we don't collect any of that information. It turns out that this Israeli company that Facebook bought is the one that's collecting that information from the VPN. So the VPN software lets them see not only what you're doing on Facebook, but also literally anything anywhere on the internet.
Yeah. And it's
any traffic that goes through the VPN.
It's so bad that they're kicking them off the Apple store because it's a violation of Apple's terms of service to spy at that level.
It's funnier than that. Apple actually sent a thing to Facebook that was like, hey, you're going to take this down, right? Because in the congressional testimony, you said that this was really important to you. Facebook did not respond or something. And so then Apple's like, you know what? We're just going to go ahead and take it down.
So yeah, definitely want to stay away from that one.
Because they thought that they would voluntarily take it down and or change it. They didn't.
Well, every week we have security leaks. So many security leaks. So many buckets and misconfigured MySQL. And it's never ending. And this one is actually a spyware company. When I say spyware company, you might be thinking, it's the Russians, right? No, this is legitimate spyware, if there's such a thing, that you buy to spy on your loved ones or your children or whatever.
I love my wife so much. I'm going to buy spyware software.
I want to know everything she does.
So this is an S3 bucket. So this spyware company literally just collects everything from their customers' phones or phones where their software is installed, and it went into this S3 bucket. And so everybody that had bought the software and the software was currently in use, there was terabytes of selfies, text messages, and location data in this S3 bucket for anybody to download. So this is a treasure trove of just terrible proportions.
Yeah, including selfies. So you got to guess there's some nudes in there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, and it was just all out there online. So now you know that your wife was cheating, and so does everybody else. what a great world, huh?
Oh, she's going to sink back exhausted onto the cartons of yogurt. That's just...
And not to be outdone, Texas has lost 14 million voter records.
Oh, I always love stories about the voter file because this is a danger that I've been harping on for like, I don't know, the better part of a decade. Yeah. So if you're a voter in Texas, guess what? Your information's on the internet, and probably not just your voting record, but anything that they can correlate from you from the commercial databases, which is what makes this really insidious.
Well, your voter records are not private. So like, that's actually one of the easiest ways to find somebody is to look at voter records because I think it has your address.
Yeah.
And it's usually, it's not always searchable, but there are services that will sell you databases. So that's legal. That's fine. Like they can do that. There's nothing really wrong with that. Well, there might be something wrong with it, but it's legal. But this database went further. It took those voter databases and it's 14 million. And I think there's like 15.3 million voters in Texas.
Yeah.
So this is almost everybody. But this one correlated things about you, like, are you pro-Second Amendment? Are you pro-abortion or anti-abortion? When was the last time you voted? How did you vote in all the last elections? Do you have blue hair? You know, all these points that would make you interesting to one political party or another. So, if you're embarrassed by your voting record and you're a Texan, bad news. And to make it even worse, imagine that you're a Texan and a T-Mobile customer.
I tried to find it before this episode of the news, but there was this amazing Twitter exchange. It was actually Twitter Austria. and it was like, you guys store the plain text password in your database? What if you get hacked? And the T-Mobile rep was like, we won't get hacked. Our security is amazing. This is not T-Mobile Australia. This is T-Mobile US. But 2 million T-Mobile, if you use T-Mobile, you got to go change your password because it's in the list.
Well, at first, they said there was no social security number, no payment info, and no passwords. And then somebody from Motherboard who had been emailed the database was like, really? Because I have a list of MD5 passwords. And they're like, oh, yeah, maybe they got encrypted passwords too. And it looks like it is just MD5, like not even salted. So can easily be brute forced.
Yeah.
Very embarrassing for T-Mobile.
There's probably already so many people doing scammy things with T-Mobile accounts that the customer service people just can't keep up.
And that's like the SIM attack is the hot new thing.
Yeah.
And that's going to make it real easy to try. And if there's a weak link at a T-Mobile store using that information, you could easily social engineer them.
It's not even a weak link now. You have literally everything you need. You can do it yourself online. You can literally just go to Walmart right now and steal somebody's phone. There's nothing stopping you.
Well, a tiny, tiny glimmer of good news. You know, security news is almost always bad. But here's a pretty decent story. We talked about the DNA tracking. And it turns out when you use these services like 23andMe and Ancestry.com, they send those right over to law enforcement. Like, hey, bro, put this in your database. We got another one. Well, 23andMe actually let app developers and third-party plugin developers see the quote-unquote anonymized DNA. Anonymized DNA cracks me up. Because is there anything less anonymous than DNA? It's literally, you're the only person in the world who can be identified by that. Unless you've got a twin.
We've uploaded your anonymized nude photos directly to the internet. Yeah. Do you think this was a moment of introspection, or do you think somebody contacted them and was like, hey guys, yeah.
I think it's probably just damage control. I bet they saw, because it's been, was that a month ago?
Yeah.
Or a couple weeks ago?
A lot of people no longer do this.
I think they've probably seen a downtick and new submissions.
Oh.
And so they're trying to get in front of it.
Well, you know, I think Uncle Oliver might have been a serial killer, so I'm just not going to submit my thing to the database to avoid the family embarrassment.
Yeah. Well, they brought up the, was it the Golden State Killer? Is that what he was called? Yeah, they caught him because one of his relatives submitted a thing, and they were like, oh, hey, your uncle killed some people.
Do you use AirMail on Mac OS?
This is probably bad. This is an incredible, incredible exploit. So most of you who work with the web at all, you're familiar with Mail-2, the protocol. Well, Apple has a different protocol called AirMail. You know, it works exactly the same as Mail-2, except unlike Mail-2, it can go in and read your old emails, and it can send emails without a prompt, and it can do all these things just based on a phishing email.
It can also steal files off your computer without you having opened that phishing email.
If it knows the location of the file, and in AirMail, the database, it's a SQLite database that stores all of your previous emails, is always in the same location.
Before we had S3 buckets, we had SQLite databases.
Yeah, so the exploit that makes it automatically, so it's essentially they're using a race condition to simulate like a JavaScript click. You can't actually use JavaScript, but you can use this race condition. And basically what it's trying to do is click the link as soon as you open the email. It doesn't always work, but sometimes it does work. But even when it doesn't work, they can hide the email as like an image or something to make you want to click on it. And as soon as you click, you're emailing your entire email history to just whoever.
Yeah, so don't use AirMail on Mac.
Yes, don't use AirMail or Mac. Well, we always see, you know, when we have these, you know, DEF CON, these hacker conferences, something embarrassing always happens to companies who get involved. But this was the con company themselves, very embarrassing.
They accidentally, the whole thing. So this was a case of the RFID cards. The RFID cards they used for getting you in had a little bit of information, and it was scrambled, but then it also had a link to a service on the internet. And it was really super easy to reverse engineer the API interface for the service on the internet. And then you could just increment the badge number because it was an incremental number and gather all of the attendees information from the virtual business card link that was embedded on the RFID card that got you in and out of everywhere you needed to go.
There was no limit on the API requests. So this guy figured he didn't do it. Well, he might have done it. He claims he didn't do it. But he figured it would take about 6 hours to iterate through every possible combination because the API wasn't throttled. They fixed it immediately, but it just goes to show you, if you're going to do a hacker conference, you really got to pay attention. It's like, ooh, you know what we should do? We should do these hipster name badges. Oh, it'll be so cool. Yeah, you really got to be careful.
The security is going to be better and yet worse for everyone.
And speaking of security being better and yet worse, Google has an interesting policy. So when Google crashes and you bring it back, it blames other applications. Couldn't be our fault, right? But here's the problem. Those applications didn't necessarily cause the crash.
Yeah. So Bitdefender has stopped scanning Google Chrome in memory as of Chrome 66 as a result of this, because Chrome will say that Bitdefender is messing with its process. And so this application could prevent Chrome from working properly if Chrome crashes for whatever reason.
And it doesn't just blame Bitdefender. There's a number of anti-malware type applications, but it's not that Chrome is looking at what happened. Chrome has a blacklist. And if it just sees any of these applications running after a crash, it assumes they were responsible. Because again, couldn't be our fault.
Couldn't be that the computer's just crappy and bits are getting flipped in memory. It's got to be these programs.
So several plugins and other programs are just simply not looking at Chrome because they're getting blamed. And of course, you know, normies are going to look at that and they're like, what? Pornhub crashed because of Bitdefender? I don't need Bitdefender. You know? And then it's gone and you lose customers. So that's kind of crappy. Now, I added this in security because this is Spectrum. Oh, this is the IEEE. So this is sort of a feel-good story, but I find this terrifying. This is a road that can detect your weight and speed of travel.
Yeah.
At all times.
Depending on how accurate it is with the weight, it would be possible to individually identify vehicles.
It also has a magnetic field, so it can tell how big the axle on the vehicle is. Kind of like traffic lights.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you know, here's the really terrifying thing about this. High performance tires, and probably all tires, if not already soon, all come with RFID chips.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
So if your road can read RFID, guess what?
They're going to track you.
It's like, hey, just because I'm doing, you know, 95 and a 65, they don't know who I am. Well, they got your Easy Pass, they got your tire RFID, they got your OnStar, which OnStar, it doesn't stop tracking you when you turn it off.
There have actually been a couple of cases of those, so like in a mountainous area where it was tracking with a certain set of satellites, and then they took a curve around like the side of a mountain, and then the GPS was tracking with a different set of satellites. The car moved vertically because of the different satellites. According to the GPS map, the car didn't really move vertically, but it moved vertically between like one set of measurements and the next set of measurements. And so the assumption was that the car was speeding, and it wasn't that the car was speeding. It was that the GPS just happened to be inaccurate that day for that particular set of satellites.
Now you might wonder, like, when do I have to worry about this? Probably not anytime soon. These roads are super expensive. They have to be cast, not poured, and then installed. So they're actually only using this, in this case, between, I think it's a Pepsi plant and a warehouse. So they're actually using that data to tell how stuff is moving across the road. And they have one other installation where it's on a very deadly curve. And so in that case, they're looking at, like, did the car go through half of the curve and then disappear? If so, dispatch emergency vehicles. So
they went off the cliff.
It does. It's got some pros, I suppose. But yeah, I see a world where the thing about it is, though, okay, let's say we install this, right? We spend all this money, two times the cost of regular roads, and our roads are garbage. Right? I mean, can you imagine, like, how much the repair cost on these things will be?
Oh, yeah.
So we go to all this expense, we install these amazing roads, and then all the cars are driving themselves anyway. They're already reporting back. So, yeah.
They don't, yeah, that's a good point.
Well, we talked about China, and so China tracks everything, and they're very public about it, and they're very open about it, but they have the same kind of problems that we have. You know, they have leaky buckets as well, and it turns out all that data is floating around, and it's for sale.
My interpretation of this was, wow, the West is doing this? We need to do this here, too, and... So this is a story of a guy who his car insurance was coming up for renewal, and he started getting all kinds of calls from other insurance providers that are like, hey, we can insure you at a better rate. And he's like, that's weird. I didn't volunteer for that.
Yeah. Well, it turns out on their version of the dark web, you can buy sales leads, and it's just, you know, stolen information.
Apparently so, very good sales leads.
Yeah, yeah. They know what's about to happen to you, you know, if something's expiring in your life or some event is coming up, hey, you need a service? I know a guy that needs sales leads, so I'm going to sell these. And they're very cheap, too.
Yeah, I definitely think this is, the West is doing this. Let's do it, but better. And it's like, no, that's not the direction you should go in for this.
Well, I think they're ahead of us in a lot of those.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, their technology works better. I still get calls for somebody named Betty.
Yeah, I get, where I lease cars, they'll contact me, but they're two cars behind at this point. I was like, well, your records are trash, man. Come on. Buy a new database. This one, I don't think there was much to this story. I almost cut this one. Basically, they're just saying that North Koreans are now hip to macOS.
They hit a cryptocurrency exchange with macOS malware. So this is, you know, this is story was kind of convoluted because it talked about how some big names were involved in this exchange and that somebody may be holding some money hostage here, some coins or something. So I'm not really sure what to make of this. And it may not have even been, I mean, it could be made to look like North Korea, but I was not convinced that it was actually North Korea.
Now it's time to play a game on level one called Guess the Image. What is the, who is this man? Is that a man? What's going on here? This blurry, sort of weird, French-looking individual? Well, it turns out this image was created with artificial intelligence, and it's going up for auction at the world-famous Christie's Auction House. So they got here's what you can get at auction at Christie's coming soon.
I thought the guy looked a little bit like the close-up of the guy looked a little bit like the surprise Doge meme. And I wonder if that was part of the training set.
No, it wasn't. They took portraits created in the 1400s and fed them to a art and a discriminator AI pair. And it's actually come up with, they have a whole family tree of fake individuals. La Famille de Bellamy. And so he's the last descendant of this family. But all these are AI portraits that have been generated based on a data set from 1400s portraits.
Wow.
So what do you think that'll go for?
$800.
Oh, no way. It's going to be six figures at least, right?
Because Christie's is handling it, probably.
Yeah, for $800, they wouldn't waste their time.
But it's going to be so easy for AI to produce an endless amount of these. What makes that particular one special versus another one?
That's true, but this is the first. So this is historical.
Well, wait, what about the other people in the family tree? Because I thought those were first.
Well, I mean, this is the first one that's going to be like certified and sold at Christie's. So the other ones, because you need that paper trail to resell it.
At six figures, I don't think it's a good investment.
Oh, no. Of course not.
But other stuff Christie sells is probably not a terrible investment.
Is art ever a great investment? I mean, it does appreciate, but...
It depends, I guess. I mean, you know, I think the maybe Pollocks have gone down in value. No, not really. But other kinds of artwork, certainly artwork from that period has mostly gone up the last 50 years.
But that's from the 1400s. I mean, are you going to wait?
600 years
to get. Yeah, I don't know.
We've all literally been replaced with AI at that point. It's like, oh, this is The first of our kind made this.
Now, when we talk about robot, the word robot, often the word is overused, especially these days. What is a robot? What constitutes an actual robot? You know, are we talking about, like, is a web crawler a robot? Because it doesn't Maybe. Have any moving parts.
Yeah.
But now we have this. This hits every, checks every box, I think, for robots. It is a robot that will murder.
It's murdering lionfish, if that makes you feel any better. I like the picture. The picture honestly looks like something that I would build. It looks totally like something
It's in the early stages.
Yeah. But, I mean, it hunts lionfish. It sees a lionfish, and it shoots one of those little dart thingies, presumably without the cork on it. And then the dart thingy causes the lionfish to float to the surface where it's collected.
Yeah, the orange parts are buoyant. And the really cool thing about it, it's kind of like, I think, is it seahorses where they have like that bladder and they can control their buoyancy? So when it loses a dart, it automatically compensates for the loss of buoyancy. And so it can say, so it's got, what, 6 darts there? Maybe 7 or 8? And it'll just hunt 8 lionfish. It uses AI to tell lionfish from every other kind of fish.
And it's totally autonomous.
All by itself, just you throw it off the ship, it hunts, it comes back for more darts. It's truly an amazing robot. Now, you might be thinking, oh, the Malian fish. Well, it turns out they are incredibly invasive. They lay 4,000 eggs per day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
That's a lot of lionfish. And they're outbreeding and out-eating all of the other fish. Apparently, I think it's an Asian fish. Our fish are too stupid to recognize them as danger because they're so exotic looking. Maybe they're mesmerized by them. And they just let them eat them.
Wow. So, that seems bad. So this is like a fish terminator then.
And it's obviously what we saw there is not the finished product.
But yeah. What was there was looked. I mean, I think if it ends up being a chrome skull with red eyes, that would probably
that shoots darts out of the mouth.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
That would be yeah. Worse though.
I'm sure it'll get some kind of cool, sleek looking because you want something that's going to cut the drag in the water. So it'd have to be like a streamlined body.
Hmm.
But then you still have to have a launch mechanism. I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like. Well, modern universities, they've become echo chambers.
They've become very expensive as well, and I'm starting to figure out why. So this university is outfitting its living spaces with thousands of Echo Dots. So Amazon has partnered up with, I forgot where this is, but they partnered up with them. And so it's a custom version where the students can ask things like, where is the registrar and what time does the library close and that kind of thing. It's the St. Louis University is where this is. And because students don't have to use them. You can put them in a drawer. And the university said that they don't collect or capture anything or have any way to individually identify which student asked what question.
Don't worry about that, bro.
But I really have to. It's like,
these are in your dorm room.
Yeah.
Not only are they in your dorm room, but they're also in the common areas and stuff like that. You can unplug the one in your dorm room, sure. But I don't think they're going to let you unplug the one, you know, in the study area.
Can I use this to order overpriced student meals from on campus from the mandatory meal card? Is that still a thing?
So they're saying that the purpose of these things is so you can query anything that's going on campus, right? You'll be like, hey, what time does the library close? Which, you think St. Louis University doesn't have a 24-hour library? They must, right? But anyway, all these various things you can ask it, but it's going to be listening. It's always going to be listening. Now, I guarantee you, here's a level one prediction. 6 months from now, minimally, there's going to be a rape case. And we're going to find out that the St. Louis...
I shouldn't laugh about that.
The dots were listening the entire time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as often as we get, you know, false accusations in colleges these days, maybe that's not a terrible thing. Maybe you should, like, get clear consent within hearing of the dot every time.
You know, I didn't think about that aspect of it, but maybe the campus's insurance agent was like, look, we'll give you a break if you just record everything all the time.
Yeah. So be careful. If you're at St. Louis University, be careful what you say.
Could also be misinterpreted by the AI, so that's fun.
Could do it. Well, robots, AI, once again, what constitutes a robot? Could we say that all of Google's data centers are now robotic? Because they are in control of their own cooling.
I like the story. So the headline is, Google just put an AI in charge of keeping its data centers cool. But what was actually happening here was the DeepMind AI was monitoring the data center and then telling the data center operators how to control the heating and cooling system, or presumably just the cooling system. And the people that were taking the report from the AI and controlling the cooling system told engineers, this is like, the AI is always right. Just give it direct control. So they created some safeties for it, but basically the AI is in total control now.
And they claim they're saving between 12 and 40%.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. I mean, imagine 40% of the cooling cost of an entire data center. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. It's a lot of energy savings as well.
Yeah. So that's good news. I wonder, can I get one of those for my apartment?
It's called a Nest.
I don't want that. That's like having the Echo.
It will learn your routine and stuff, and you can put it like your, I don't have one of these, but somebody was showing me, they've got a thing on their phone. When they start heading toward their house, because they're like a 10-minute drive away or whatever, there, and it's around the end of the day, that is what causes their air conditioner to kick on. And their air conditioner is, their house is approximately the right temperature by the time they get there.
But I always thought that it was more expensive to take a home from hot to cool than to keep cool.
I guess it depends on the size of your house and like how efficient it is. In his case, getting the house from 80 to 70 only takes about 12 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm still not willing. So you're telling me I have to put an Internet of Things device in my home. I have to turn on location data on the phone. So, which we know is already
the price of convenience.
Yeah. You know what? I'll pay that extra, $5 a month.
That'd be more like 15 or 20 minutes. But yeah, I could see an old house where it's like the air conditioner can barely keep up. And it's like, it's going to take an hour to get it, you know, cooler. That's maybe a thing.
Well, Zooks. We talked about Zooks once before. But I remember when we did the story about Zooks, it was kind of like, hey, there's a company called Zooks and they're going to make self-driving cars. And that was all the story was.
Yeah.
And now we hear that they've raised a ton of money and they're getting rid of their CEO.
$500 million to $3.2 billion valuation. And the CEO has taken to Twitter to be like, this is a, you know, it was like classic bad shenanigans from Silicon Valley or something like that.
Well, this guy was offered a job, I think, at Waymo. But he was like, you know what?
I can get way more money as the CEO.
I'm pretty sure that I'm good enough that I can make my own self-driving car. And then he kind of did enough to get a bunch of venture capital. And then as soon as he got his venture capital, he's out. But you get the impression that he was the brains behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
And now he's gone. And they're just like, oh, you're out and we're going to take over with this $500 million. So
neat.
But I still, like, there's so much mystery around Zooks.
Yeah.
Do you think Zooks has always been vaporware?
Probably. Every time I see Zooks in headlines, I'm thinking Gadzooks, and for some reason I'm picturing like the Scooby-Doo crowd, and it's like, you know, Zooks, and they pull the mask off, and it's like, I would have gotten away with the IPO if it wasn't for you and meddling kids trying to make sure this technology actually exists.
Well, you know who might be trying to get away with a big one is the Kalashnikov company. Now, if you're not familiar, if you've seen a movie, every movie, that the gun that the bad guys have, that's the Automat Kalashnikov, the AK. And apparently they have this robot, which, now we talked about what constitutes a robot. Rumor has it this doesn't.
Apparently, they're just now getting to watch the 1980s movie RoboCop.
That is Z209, right?
Yeah.
There. I mean, it's kind of like a he's like a budget version. It's like if Kia made Z209.
I want to see the accessory that adapts Z209's arms to that machine gun looking thing that's deployed there in front of him.
Well, the one in RoboCop had like a 3-barrel,
yeah,
like a minigun type of deal.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. But yeah, a lot of people are set. So they rolled this out at some trade show or some arms show or something, but it's like a, you know, a chicken walker type of thing, but no one's even seen it move. The rumor is there's nothing inside there. It's just a shell.
I mean, it would be a cool sculpture just to have in front of your building. I mean, it's like we mean business. And it's like, it would be really hilarious to put a loudspeaker in it. And it's like, you have 30 seconds to comply.
There's a great documentary. Oh, it's not that interesting, but about the man Kalashnikov. And he's you know, just in a little shitty apartment in Russia somewhere. He didn't even make a ton of money, I don't think. And they're interviewing him and they're like, do you feel bad that your weapon is used like by every terrorist and warlord in the world? And he's just like, never really thought about it.
Oh, that's a great lead into nonsense. We've got so much nonsense this week.
It is a lot of nonsense this week.
It's amazing. There's so much stuff. I mean, it's going to be like RTX 2080s levels of nonsense.
Which is, it's the Schrodinger card. You both should and should not buy it. And you can't know until you buy it.
The should buy it was an apology to sponsors. I'm telling you.
It worked. All right. We'll see you on Friday.